Hello!
Hello! Welcome to Movie Banter!
Welcome.
I'm John Sands.
I'm Paul Grenzer.
And I'm Jenny Masters. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Hooray.
We're back.
Back with a vengeance.
I feel like it's been quite a long time.
I feel like it's been...
And Jenny's back with something else.
Oh dear. Jenny's back is broken. After that bizarre backflip she decided to do across the studio.
That was a terrible idea.
No real reason.
The studio. Oh. Yeah.
All right. It's a floor that creaks. All right. There we go.
No, I don't think the creaking will come through.
It's just the spirits.
So... People downstairs now. Oh, yes, it's Halloween.
Oh, it's Halloween.
Hello.
Yeah. And yet, we haven't got many scary films.
So we've got starring that Halloween special monster person that is Ryan Gosling.
That's true. This is a Ryan Gosling
Ryan
heavy
Gosling special.
Oh,
yeah, Halloween session. Yeah. But we've also, we've got Crazy Stupid Love, which has got him in it, and Drive, which has got him in it, and The Eyes of March, which has got him in it.
Has it?
And I'm going to mention... Lars and the Real Girl, because that's got him in it as well, which I saw on DVD. And Contagion, which doesn't have him in it.
Which has got his germs in it.
Well, almost certainly.
Yeah.
So we could start with Contagion, given it's scary.
Start with Contagion. Scary germs. Yeah.
I don't know what you've been doing with these microphones, Paul.
Well, best not ask.
Well, very true. What? I think best not to ask.
Okay.
Yeah. Just be grateful you weren't here earlier.
Yeah. It's all recorded. It'll be honest. Maurice, it's a podcast special.
Exactly. Video podcast. It's not pleasant.
Tell me about Contagion, for I have not seen this film, but I'm aware of its work. It stars a lot of people.
It does,
It stars everyone famous apart from Ryan Gosling.
It's a surprisingly widespread cast, with more people cropping up than I was expecting. Hmm. But then Steven Soderbergh, who directed it, seems to occasionally do that, and just people just come
Well, he's done the Oceans films and all that, hasn't he? And,
yeah.
There was one film, I can't remember what it was called now, he did a film years ago, Julia Roberts, which was awful, and it starred most of Hollywood.
Was it like the four split screen thing with
Salma
Hayek?
No, that was Mike Figgis,
what?
I think. But there was some film...
That, not Valentine's Day, was it?
No. I think it was Julia Roberts. It's definitely Steven Soderbergh, so look out for that fella. But he's got a bit of a, he's a bit of a Marmite sort of, I mean, not his entire filmography. It's not like I like all his films, but he's done some great films, and he's done some films should have known better.
Not so great.
I think he's done some which you can tell are probably just for him, and he just called his Hollywood mates and said, you know...
Let's do a project.
Yeah, I haven't got a script yet, but just speak, because you're great. You're Julia Roberts. You've got a face. Come on. So, there's a bit of that.
Was it Full Frontal?
Yes.
That rings a bell. Yes.
Yeah.
I think you'd remember that.
You'd have thought, wouldn't you? You'd have thought, well, all I remember, there was no Full Frontal in it, which is shocking.
Oh.
But, no, it was just a big cast of arse.
Julia Roberts.
It's not frontal, is it really?
No.
But it's more full backle.
Full backle.
Backle.
Full backle. This is why we sit on far too long. And tell me about Contagion.
Oh yeah.
Meanwhile,
I remember now.
Yeah. Oh, there's no backle.
This is meant to be a swift podcast, but it's not going to happen. This is because I wasn't entirely sure what to expect from this because I wasn't all that fussed about seeing it, but the very good reviews and Jen persuaded me. And it's because it looks slightly more outbreaky than it ends up being, as in more like the film Outbreak with monkeys and running around.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it's almost like a reenactment of an actual worldwide outbreak and sort of just documenting what happens from different points of view, but in quite a unshowy way.
Okay.
Which is quite matter-of-factly, but in a very interesting, very watchable way.
I wouldn't actually say it's that many different points of view. All these characters seem to be connected in one way or another.
Mm.
And it's not sort of epic movie in the fact that you see whole swathes of people, you know, just vanishing. It's actually quite local in that respect. Mm. You kind of are told about what's happening around the world, which is horrific, but you're seeing how it's affecting all these individual people, whether they're, you know, just members of the public or, you know, part of the Ministry of Health and... You know, general husbands, wives.
So they're not
children.
Especially tied together. Then it's not sort of
not.
You know, it becomes
like,
apparent.
Yeah, okay, yeah but so not. But not in a sort of a overly doctored way.
It's really bad cold.
But I mean, even the opening shot, the opening few shots, are quite good because they're just showing lots of people, you know, touching things and doorknobs and then scratching their face and kissing someone, and you suddenly, because of the subject matter, you're just suddenly thinking, contact and churns.
You
and
take your arms off the seat.
Exactly.
In the
and just stop.
I do remember giving John a rather evil look when he coughed.
That was just accidental.
I have heard of a tell of people in watching this film where suddenly someone sneezes a few rows back and people start to view your co-audience with
suspicion. Because the main focus, but Matt Damon's character is quite involved. So, for those of you listening at home, Paul and Jen are both mouths.
Matt Damon.
I never. To each other. With good reason. But... it was his family. And in the trailer we find out that his wife is good at the battle show, who gets sick and dies quite early on. But we also see other people collapsing and dying. So we're sort of following the human story. But also you've got Kate Winslet being a... Does she work for the... Centre for Disease Control or something like that. And so she's kind of going, trying to backtrace it to work out where it came from. Mm. But also then wandering around, you see people wandering around football stadiums and basketball arenas saying, right, we're going to need a row of tents here and then find four more places like this. And it's all kind of the groundwork that you don't really see in films because it's quite... Mm. I mean, it's not dull to watch, but it sounds like it would be quite a dull aspect of the film if behind the scenes of Outbreak you've got people... setting up tents and getting medicine to people and worrying about pain relief. But that's all part of this, but in a very interesting way, just seeing it all unfold and just realising, oh yeah, we will run out of food and how do you deal with that? Mm. And if no one's leaving their house, there might be looting and shortages. So just expands and you follow it all.
I mean, it really does pretty much cover every single area that needs to be covered, including Jude Law plays a very... irritating, obnoxious character who's obviously an online blogger, and it's all about the control of terror, about how fear is probably actually going to turn out to be the worst killer. And it's just a fascinating film. The hardships, the fact that it really takes the story from the beginning. Well, at the start of the film, it's clearly noted as day two.
Yes.
And that already starts putting questions in your mind about, obviously what happened the day before. And how it involves right the way through until effectively, a really quite refreshingly hopeful end.
That's nice.
Yes.
But over a very long period. I mean,
for cockroaches.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's over the period of sort of 6 months, maybe.
Okay.
From start to finish. And you occasionally jump forward, quite sort of a big leap. And you see sort of what's changed, maybe we're used to it. But because there's Matt Damon's daughter as well. And I thought what happens with them is quite good. Because it's not... And it's typical, actually, of a few films I've seen recently, and it's not overblown. It would be quite easy to have the daughter overreacting in some way or doing something ridiculous in some way just to advance the plot or make something interesting... I mean, or make something overly exciting happen to then give the writers a sort of easy way out. Think, brilliant, now we've got an action scene. But it's not. She reacts in quite a sensible way, and her dad is essentially saying, don't leave the house, it's not safe, and she's unhappy about that.
Mm.
And that is the discussion, not her thing, I'm going to run away from home, and I've got sick. It's not overblown in that way, which I quite liked.
Yeah. And it's tackling the more sweeter little issues, just with the daughter. For example, like she has a boyfriend. And so it's not only the problem of the fact that Matt Damon, because this is his daughter from his first marriage, I think it
is.
So it's not the kind of like difficult relationship with dad and daughter, but also then this boy. I mean, that in many films is enough to be the main plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with this, it's about obviously having this terrible background of, do you actually let them go anywhere near each other?
Yeah.
Not just because of the nasty sex aspect, but, they may die. And how that gets resolved in a way. I mean, it's really very touching. There's a lot in this film. I thought it was great.
I'd like to see it.
It is. It's very watchable. And it doesn't quite end up being the sort of film you think it will. And not in a twisty way, but just because it's quite slow and steady. But interesting, and just keeps you constantly thinking, that's what would happen, and that's how people would react, and what would I do? And you've got people coming out in random, like Marion Cotillard is in it, as a, I think, World Health Organization person, who sort of gets slightly sucked into it and then has her own little subplot going on. And Elliot Gould just turns up as a lab worker who is sort of, I think, slightly further down the food chain, before the major government people sort of come in and essentially say, and again, not in a screw you, we're shutting this place down over the top way, but just say, this is far too dangerous. No one else can work on this because we can't risk it getting out. We are going to work on this. Mm. So screw you, Elliot Gould, sorry. And well, not even screw you, but just saying, sorry, this is how it has to be. And he's not there really saying, no, I'm going to, oh, it's all gone wrong and I've released it. He's there pretty much sort of going, that's understandable. I'm upset, but it's how it works. But there's a little bit more to it than that. But it's all quite realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Is the main thing. And you go, ooh, we would all be dead. If something like this happened, it's absolutely horrific.
Well, because I was there thinking a lot of people would be dead, but all of this would probably be happening and people would be working the best they could to sort of limit exposure. It just makes a very interesting view.
This film, more than most like this, for some reason, each person who's mentioned as being in it, who's famous, I can only ever picture them being in this film doing what they're famous for. It's sort of, I could just, you know, I hear Gwyneth Paltrow's in it, I think just her head. Marion Cotillard's in it as Edith Piaf, Elliot Gordon a cigar, and, you know, Matt Damon runs around with a shaky camera. I just,
exactly,
you know,
just fighting people for no good reason.
Paste it all together.
Just wrestles the virus to the ground and beats it to
Jude Law's a robot, you know, all that stuff. You know, yeah.
Is that what he's best known for? It's a bit of, I know AI, but it's a bit of a stretch. But,
well, generally
he does
just
having sex with people.
He does a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. Gattaca.
Yeah. And that one, was it...
was it Gattaca?
Something about nicking organs pretty recently.
Oh, Repo Man.
Repo
a genetic
Man.
Opera.
That's the one.
Or something
like that.
Goodness,
or I think just... Or there are two films, and I think they're sort of based on it, and there's something like a Repo Man, a genetic opera, which I think might have Anthony Stewart head in it.
I don't think that's
a musical or something. No, but then there was just Repo Men.
Repo Men, yes.
Which is, I think, much exactly the same premise, but...
But without the opera.
Yeah.
With Edith Piaf in the background. Je ne Repo Men. Anyway.
Yes. I never saw Repo Men, but it sounded like an interesting idea.
I saw half of it. Mm. Is it right?
Yeah. Is it only worth watching half?
I was doing a gig in Crete at a holiday camp.
Of course.
And I just, it was just too hot. And so I had to come in and watch a bit of telly, and that was on. Everyone else by the pool. And,
so, but you were a fair man.
Just thought, I'm a fair man.
Yeah.
You were. Well, that'll do me.
Harsh but fair.
You're a fair man.
You were, yeah.
So it was all right.
So Contagion, go and see it. Obviously.
Yes.
Definitely.
I think I might.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it hasn't got in it Ryan Gosling. Who is the star of the next film we'll be talking about, which is, I've no idea what, but whoever it is, it's got Ryan Gosling.
Which one have you seen?
I've seen Drive.
Could talk about Drive.
Let's talk about Drive.
Let's talk about Drive.
Go on then, boys. Talk about Drive.
Jen hasn't seen this.
Yeah, sorry, Jay.
That's all right.
Well, it's a man's film, you see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about driving, you know.
Nothing but driving.
Yeah, the sequel, barbecue, and...
and spitting.
Yeah.
And urinating outside.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's all that
sounds marvellous.
Yeah. Carry on. See, we'll see this again. Quite a few films I've seen recently have fitted this very, very broad mould, including Contagion, of being... slow and steady and sedate, but deliberate and interesting and thought through and fascinating to watch.
I think that's fair to a point. Yeah, I thought it was slow and steady.
Mm.
Probably a little too slow and steady for my liking.
Okay.
But you can tell it, but deliberate. You can tell it was deliberately at this pace. Lots of slow Ryan Gosling walking towards the camera. Camera focuses on his face because he's beautiful. And then a scene happens. But, you know, I did feel it could have been about 45 minutes long if they just trimmed out all of the Gosling's face bits.
A little bit. But I really didn't mind that, though.
Sounds a little bit Twilight.
Because you love him.
No, in terms of Twilight.
No, fair enough.
I mean, the basic premise could be, this is essentially like almost an art house version of The Transporter. Sort of.
Wow.
I know. in that, and the trailer makes it look far more... In fact, one woman is suing the studio for... I don't know for what, beyond just why asking for a refund somehow just wouldn't do it.
Right.
She's for essentially like misleading everyone, and she was expecting a film like The Transporter and didn't get it. And surely that's when...
Sue the studio for that.
Exactly. Surely that's when you walk out of the cinema after 20 minutes and go, oh, no, this isn't for me. Could I possibly have a refund? Not. You've traumatised me with this film that wasn't quite
right.
And
to be fair, they called it Drive, and it's about a driver.
Well,
you know,
yes.
There's other films which have more misleading titles out
And also,
there.
Maybe read a review, given that no review is saying, this is an action-packed, effects-heavy spectacular. It's not that kind of film.
Well, what about this new, again, very arthouse film called Sleeping Beauty, out a couple of weeks ago. Which
I don't
is
know it.
Yeah, well, it's what it did was in like no screens, but it's about a teenage girl who becomes a sort of courtesan prostitute type thing to old men,
right?
And the idea, yeah,
oh, no,
the idea
know
is
this.
They
with,
drug her every night
with a Australian girl who was in.
Tell me what happened.
Sorry. While you're thinking on that, I'll finish the plot. They drug her every night, and they basically they sleep. Sleep with her, as in stay in the same bed as her, and can do whatever they want as long as there is nothing too naughty, nothing too
sexual shenanigans.
No
shenanigans.
Basically. So, but they can sort of just, you know, lie there and you look at her and touch her and stuff, but they can't do anything, you know.
Intrusive.
No sex. Intrusive. Oh,
right.
That's the word.
Okay.
Right.
Trying to not basically try not to say the word penetration. So I've just said the word.
Exactly. Penetration.
Now I can't stop saying it. but basically, my point was that they called it Sleeping Beauty, And even from some of the posters, you could think, oh, it's a modern version of Sleeping Beauty. It's not a modern version. They've called it that because it's someone about someone beautiful who is sleeping for much of the film.
There is no Prince Charming who kisses her and wakes up and her life is brilliant.
It's maybe the point.
Old men who can't kiss her and her life is awful.
So this woman who's suing the people who make Drive should probably not see this film.
Yes.
Yes.
I've read Emily Browning.
That's the name. One.
Yes, who was in, not The Importance of Being Earnest, A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, okay.
And also in Sucker Punch.
Oh, right.
But yes, so that's just my internal IMDb has to get it out. Otherwise, I'd go mental.
The JMDb,
yes. But this is not. I mean, it's the same sort of rough idea as the Transporter.
Drive,
Jason. Yeah, sorry, back to Drive.
Back to Drive.
Because in Transporter, Jason Statham is a man who says, "You know, give me money, I will drive anyone or anything anywhere." And then, fights and explosions. And this, Ryan Gosling says, "I'm a driver. Give me money, I will give you a 5-minute window to pick you up, whatever you've been doing, and drive you somewhere." But then gets caught up in, sort of gets involved with his neighbour.
Well, it's women, isn't it? They always watch out for the.
But then not quite, sort of involved. Well, he's clearly interested in his neighbour, but then she's got a husband who's just got out of prison, and then
he just wants to do the right thing, doesn't he?
That's the thing. He's clearly very honourable, and wants to behave honourably and help someone out and sort of help out his attractive neighbour. But also her husband sort of threw that as well.
Yeah.
And then that sort of goes wrong and he gets pulled into it with sort of someone he knows in his legitimate driving capacity, turns out to be involved in shady dealings as well. And it all sort of ends up being connected and he gets kind of dragged down with it. But then shows him from outward, calm, very quiet exterior, shows himself capable of massive violence when
needed.
There are some
shocking moments.
Yeah.
Peppered throughout the film, but just two or three, really, aren't there? Yeah. It's just sort of there's a long wait for.
Much almost everything in the trailer that is sort of violent or implied that you think there's about to be violence is what's in the film.
It does
with
make
maybe
it,
one more.
Well, it's all the more shocking when it does happen, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
But it does make it very shocking. It means that's the point where there were some walkouts when I saw it, and people were wincing a little bit. Whereas people, if it was a Saw film, then they just probably sit there going, we're used to this now. Yeah. Let it wash over me.
Mm. Whereas this, you just have very, like him and Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan, yeah.
Yes, so them talking and sort of quite normal, and then suddenly 5 minutes later, there's a shotgun attack, very violent visual shotgun issue going on. Which, it's just unexpected. And it's not massively gory by general cinema terms, but it's just so almost out of place, but not out of place. I mean, it fits the plot perfectly, but it's just not... Yeah, it hasn't been like that until that point. And then it sort of sits back down again, and it's...
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just... It's. I found it fascinating to watch, and I didn't find it over long at all.
No, okay, I didn't even feel it was that long. I think just there were lots of bits where I think I think the director probably liked Ryan Gosling more than I liked Ryan Gosling.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I think the cast in it were mostly brilliant. I thought Kerry Mulligan was marvellous. And I thought the guys that Ryan Gosling's character works with in his capacity as a stunt driver and a mechanic were really, really well cast, really good actors. I think my problem with it was I just didn't like Ryan Gosling as much as...
I quite liked him in it.
He's very much, this character certainly, is very much silent, sort of, deadly when he needs to be, but he doesn't. There's a lot of just still silence, isn't there? Really,
yes. But then,
which can work
with
the
implication of what's going on behind the eyes.
Yeah, exactly. But I think for me personally, I'd have got that, but from a better actor. I think I didn't get it from Ryan Gosling enough.
Okay, so I definitely did. I felt there was history there that he was keeping in.
Okay.
Yeah, but I feel he has a lot to offer the acting world generally. Maybe not in this. I mean, I don't judge myself the best judge of actors generally. But, as we'll talk about other films he's been in, I think he's got a fairly a more impressive range than a lot of actors his age at the moment that I can think of.
Okay. I've yet to be convinced by the goz, but we'll find out.
We'll find out. Possibly over the rest of this podcast.
Yeah, including are we doing Desert Island Flicks of Ryan Gosling?
Well, we thought
I think we are, aren't we? So we'll pick the very best Ryan Gosling film.
Yes,
and tell you at the end.
Next we could do Ides of March, as Jen has said.
It might make sense to continue
mix and match. And this is basically
who's in this.
You saw it like 2 days ago.
Is it Ryan Gosling?
It might be.
Really?
Ryan Gosling. And George Clooney.
Which is
Is it because normally when you see goslings on the river, there's like three of them all together at once?
I know. It's like buses.
Like buses. Ryan Bus. Right. That was his working title.
Yeah, he's had a very busy time, hasn't he?
He has. He's clearly, I don't know what he's done, because I think last, I know he's in Blue Valentine, which I haven't seen either.
Oh, yes. No.
But I do want to. I feel it'll be quite emotionally traumatising, but he's meant to be very good. Yeah, but I think that may have been a couple of years ago. I don't know what he's done.
Does it mean that we're not going to see Ryan Gosling in the cinema for 8 years now? What, he makes a new batch and then releases a whole bunch at once?
Yeah, so you get some directors, some actors who make one film every 5 years, and he clearly does five every 5 years, exactly. But all at the same time. Yeah. And then just nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, Ides and Marsh, based on a play, which I only found out reading
it. I didn't actually know that.
Farragut North, which gets...
Oh, that's
a
station in Washington.
Yes, well, that's
where we joined to go to Washington, D.C. Centre.
Really? Because it gets referenced a couple of times in the film. Essentially, it's sort of seeming to be an area where presumably lots of consultancy firms are based. So when people leave politics, they all seem to move to that sort of area.
Work for consultancy firms. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Which I think is why the play is called that. Right. But it didn't get called that for some reason. But yeah, it's slightly... It was a political thriller with George Clooney being a Democratic candidate going against another Democratic candidate who we hardly ever see, actually, who's almost irrelevant.
I think Clooney produces and directs. Co-writes as well? I think he definitely
directed.
Yeah.
He's done a lot to do, anyway. Yes. He's done the makeup, he's gaffer, key he grip.
You often catch him in the background with the same with a boom mic on his shoulder. But it's always all in the play. Yeah, but it's more about the... I mean, it's almost West Wing-like in that it's more about the behind-the-scenes people.
Mm. Yeah.
And so the campaign manager, or Philip Seymour Hoffman is the campaign manager, and Ryan Gosling is... I don't know if we ever get told his actual job title, but he's kind of a media... I mean, in West Wing terms, Philip Seymour Hoffman is kind of the Leo,
right,
future chief of staff kind of section.
Okay.
And Ryan Gosling is very much Josh.
Right.
He's sort of, you know, very important, but slightly more on the ground, getting his hands dirty, or will do down the line. But then he gets an offer. Well, yeah, gets an offer to come over and join the other side.
Because he's doing so well. And you see him work his magic just in conversation. It's very... very obviously slick and smooth operator, considering he's actually meant to be quite a young guy.
Yeah.
He's there going, he's worked on so many campaigns than most people twice his age have done. He gets a very important call.
Yes, to work with the opposition. Ooh. And it's sort of how he reacts to that and what unfolds from that. And he gets involved with an intern who sort of lets slip some information as well. Or we kind of picks up on. So there's a degree of information floating around.
And damage control.
Yeah. And his position is slightly in flux as to what he's going to do. So that's how all that plays out. And it's kind of, a lot of it is covered in the trailer, sort of. But it's the moments between what we see in the trailer, which are very interesting. And there's a little bit more to it than we see in the trailer as well, which is refreshing.
Okay.
And it's not quite West Wing standards, I'd say, but it's not too far off.
Well, I haven't really seen all of West Wing. I've enjoyed it whenever I've seen it, but I'm not a committed viewer like you are. But I thought at the beginning, I'm not too up on American politics. Am I going to enjoy this film? And then it came pretty clear very early on that yes, because it's about people's relationship and trust and about how much you can give away and how much you have to hide, about the idea of the question of honour and see someone in one light, public and private lives, and how that affects and just about how careful you have to be and people who you consider to be friends and that kind of relationship.
And sort of you're not really friends. But
yeah,
you sort of are. It's more everyone's playing the game. Everyone knows that they're playing the game, but you still sort of have to play the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you can't just sort of give up on it or give away that it's or be too honest. You just need to essentially lie to someone occasionally, and they know you will occasionally lie to them, and they need to be all right with that. But then sometimes they're not, and it's.
I think it's illustrated very well with the journalist. Character called Ida, who's worked for the New York Times or something?
Yes.
And she's...
Yes. My brain has gone blank. The wrestler woman.
Maria Bello. No, we did this last time. We did this last time.
Ridiculously famous woman who was in What Women Want and... Not Maria Bello. Now all I can think is Maria Bello. It's not Maria Bello.
The one that is Maria Bello. But you did this last time. Again, you did this. We'll have to learn it. We'll have to get her name tattooed on our eyelashes.
But the point is that you first see her in a bar talking in a rather casual way with the two chats. And it's just asking questions and clever manipulations of answers. And then also she comes back in the very, very last scene and how the treatment of her is quite different.
Who comes back in the last scene?
Marisa Tomei comes
back.
That's
the one. That's really? No yes. way.
Her.
That was very much.
Tomei to you.
She did. Yeah.
We did the same joke last time.
Really?
Yeah.
You say Tomei and I say Tomei. No. Yeah.
But it's a good film.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Slightly boy-y in the fact that boy-y? There's no kittens or shoes. But it's...
it sounds like a nice little double act with Tinker Tailor Soldier, what's name?
Yes.
You know,
a little bit, yes.
Basically, how Americans do politics and how the Brits do spying.
Yes.
Put them together.
Yes.
What a wonderful wardrobe that would be. No, it was very, very good.
But again, it's Ryan Gosling having probably 800 times more dialogue in this than he does in Drive.
I can imagine, yeah.
But again, I think doing a reasonable job of thought processes going on, especially the shot towards the end when he's being interviewed about something and he gets asked a question. And because we know what's happened and what's going on in his mind, but we also sort of know the answer he's about to give. And I think he sort of conveys that quite well, maybe. Or you get the feeling he's...
Yeah. Though, in real life, if you had that long a pause before you answer the question, people would go like, hello, hello.
You're thinking, what are you hiding?
Wait, I'm thinking. How can I convey one thing while saying another?
I can't remember what lie I'm about to tell you. And George Clooney is very good as well. And he's sort of a Jed Bartlett, slightly behind the scenes. He's more sort of a force around the outside rather than...
Yeah.
Pivotal to the plot directly.
Has he got a Julius Caesar connection in Adam March or that sort of stuff?
It's too brutal.
I think it's about who you can. Yeah, obviously, I mean, there's about a degree of
potential backstabbery going on.
Yeah.
But then there's a point Ryan goes earlier in the trailer as well where he says something like, I'll do or say anything if I believe in the cause. But I think in the film that's in response to someone who's essentially said, you'll do or say anything to win, I'll do or say anything if I believe in the cause. And he demonstrates that's very true, but not necessarily as honourably as you might think. But yeah, so there's definite willingness to betray each other.
Yes.
Which evolves. It's not. I mean, it's about how attitudes change through little snippets of information and how strongly it can affect your judgment of someone. Very good. Go and see it.
It is a good watch.
So we know that Ryan Gosling can do action. We know he can do political thriller, but can he do rom-com, I wonder?
Well, as luck would have it.
Really?
He's in a rom-com at the
moment. No way! What are the chances?
He's clearly just trying to touch all bases.
That's a crazy, stupid idea.
Love your way of thinking, Paul. Yes.
I told you I'd find links to all these films.
Well
don't you worry about it.
This is Crazy Stupid Love, which is Ryan Gosling and Steve Carell and Julianne Moore and Emma Stone, principally, with some other people as well. Steve Carell and Julianne Moore being a divorcing couple, clearly sort of hit a rut, and things go a bit difficult. Oh, Kevin Bacon as well. Yes, turns out. With a bit of a rut. And then, so
very clever, Kevin Bacon, isn't it? You know, he's got 6 degrees.
Stop it. Get out.
I haven't seen many of these films, but I have to make jokes. Otherwise, I'm not here for it.
And so Steve Carell gets dejected and goes hangs out in a local bar quite a lot. And regularly sees Ryan Gosling wandering around, hanging out with beautiful women, often leaving with them. And he eventually gets talking to him. And Ryan Gosling offers to help sort of rebuild his life a bit and saying, oh, you need to dress better and here is how to act around women. But then from that sort of semi-comedic premise, which could be the entire film, that's sort of a chunk of the film, and then Steve Carell gets quite good at it. But then he meets up with his soon-to-be ex-wife again, and it's sort of his newfound semi-womanising causes a degree of problems. Although, in quite a light way, this is a rom-com. This isn't like heavy drama, it is called quite light and flippant.
So just a degree of problems.
Yes.
Not 6 degrees of
problems. Stop it.
You're not going to give up on that, are you? No.
But then Ryan Gosling meets Emma Stone, who then he says, oh, I want to put away my womanising ways, and here is a woman who I could be with, and she has something that really appeals to me. So then he sort of starts to tone it down a bit, and then, so hilarity ensues from there. But it's essentially,
does it?
It's... Yeah, I mean, it's not... Okay. It is meant to be a sort of not as annoying, because if I use the word dramedy, then Paul will get annoyed, because they're normally awful. And it's far lighter than that.
That face is funny.
Yeah, no, I know, because that's not... Because that normally ends up being something very serious with 4 jokes in it, and it's not that. This is just... It's just sort of a light, very, very, very light drama. So okay. A few moments of comedy.
But it's pitched as a comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not. There aren't really major gags in it. But it is. Mm. It's full. Very
Steve Carell. You're thinking it's got to be.
No, I mean there are funny moments.
Otherwise, you'd put someone else in it.
No, but I wasn't ever there thinking. Yeah, no, it's a joke that fell flat. But equally, nor am I rolling the aisles. Right. But I was enjoying it for the full run, watching four very likeable people have a story that you care about and relationships that you care about, and interested to see how it's all going to happen. Yes. Jen is not sounding convinced.
It's all going right. To be honest, I can't remember seeing the trailer. It kind of passed me by. So I'm, because of that, partly, I'm thinking, like, it couldn't have been that great. Otherwise, I'd be more aware of it.
There may be a degree to say that. I'm not going to say rush out and see it immediately, but it may well have been and gone now. But it's certainly worth a rental on the rom. I mean, I think it's like a lot of rom-coms. A lot of romantic comedies aren't that funny, really. Mm. They're not full of brilliant
jokes.
But they
should be, shouldn't they?
I did.
Is it not just the standard lately has gone down so much that if there's a rom-com that's passable and isn't annoying, we sort of go... Yeah.
I mean, it may be my own expectation. With a rom-com, I don't expect to be wetting myself laughing all the time. With a comedy, I do. I think next week we'll talk about 30 minutes or less, and that's meant to be a comedy, and it's not. It's just not funny. So the whole way there, you're thinking, it should be a comedy, and I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
At the rom-com, if there's more relationship and
there's stuff to back it up. There's stuff in the background.
If it's not hilariously funny, I don't really mind, because there's other stuff going on that I'm equally interested by. But that's it. I mean, it hasn't made a massive impact on me in terms of remembering lots of jokes. And it could be a lot of people would watch it and think, laughed at all these bits.
Yeah.
But I just remember liking it, if not really laughing at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think it's just because the title sounds like a rom-com. And it's, Steve Carell in Crazy Stupid Love sounds kind of like, Will Ferrell in Mad Crazy Guy.
It's not that kind of film at all. I don't think the trailer really plays up the gag side of it too much. But it's a very likable film. Okay. I enjoyed it. And Ryan Gosling shows he can be a romantic lead type character as well.
Is there anything that he can't do?
Give birth.
Probably.
Could he be in a film with a fake woman?
Oh, yes. I'll mention this one very briefly. Just because. That's a bit of a. Yeah. Because this is slightly closer to a dramedy, I suppose. But. I know.
Isn't that a camel that's only got two humps or something?
Yeah. It's a very romantic, unsuccessful camel.
Doesn't it?
No, it's a dromedary. Just very quickly, because I
didn't get the notes in advance.
Having seen.
You could have got these jokes.
Having seen. When Paul says laugh, you laugh!
Thank you. How's your work?
No, but only I saw this on DVD recently, having seen various Ryan Gosling things. I think, what else has he done? Oh, I'll watch that. And it's just a very sweet film. I think, like Secretary, in that the premise sounds
horrific.
Sadomasochistic. But it ends up being a surprisingly sweet film.
It's a tough sell.
Lars and the Real Girl. On paper, essentially, it's very weird man has a relationship with a sex doll. But
I've seen a documentary on that on Channel 4.
Quite possibly. But in reality, there's no, as far as, it's never really addressed, but as far as we work out, there's no sex involved. He is clearly painfully socially awkward and actually uncomfortable being touched by anyone ever, as gets addressed. And someone points out, I think it was a bawdy co-worker, says, hey, look at these sex dolls, And he buys one, but introduces them to his family, or introduces her to his family as an actual person and has conversations
with them. Do they know that?
Everyone realises that he's clearly had a slight mental breakdown.
Right.
And is interacting with this doll. And he says, she doesn't speak much English because she's from overseas and she's in a wheelchair so she can't move around.
Right.
But he's quite religious and so says, could you, and he lives sort of a garage behind his brother and sister-in-law's house. So says, could she possibly stay with you? So we never see them sort of sleeping together. So that's, we get the feeling it's not that sort of relationship. Mm. But he's clearly so desperate for companionship, but with no concept of sort of how to make it work, that he has this slight break with reality and gets his doll. But then everyone in, it's a very small town, and everyone is involved in the church, and everyone loves him a lot, even though he's very awkward. And so they all make an effort to treat her like she's real as well.
Wow.
So they all have a meeting and say, right, we are going to converse with her and act like she's real. He brings her to a party. And everyone is clearly a bit off about it and sort of behind his back a little bit. But they're going to try and make the effort. And but then,
he's willing to go to a party.
No, but only. But he wasn't ever really. Right. With her, he starts opening up a bit.
Oh, okay.
And then, but then they start taking her for days out and sort of say, hey, yo, why don't she come and help me out in the shop today? Which then leaves him alone.
Because she's a blot! No,
but then leaves him alone again. So he's sort of forced to address the fact, and he starts getting annoyed. And everyone starts saying to him, well, no, but you know, she's got her own life to live. Maybe you can do your other thing as well. But it makes him address his break with reality, and he starts having to sort of deal with
it. I want to see this.
It's just a very interesting film, a very sweet film. And yeah, and it ends up with, and there's a co-worker, a female co-worker, who clearly is interested in him, but he can't interact with her at all, just very awkward around her. So, but then with him being in a relationship, then he can sort of relax around her a bit more. So how that all, yeah, and it's just very, how it all unfolds is just quite interesting to watch. And it's a very sweet film.
Didn't the doll win Best Actress at the Oscars?
It did, yeah. Beat out Gwyneth Paltrow, hardly surprisingly.
Very, very quiet speech.
It was, Someone had to carry her up.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Is it Weekend at Bernie's when the guy dies and he has to get shoved around in the wheelchair?
Yes, it's friends to carry. Which happened in real life recently, actually. I think a guy died and two friends like took him to a bar or something.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. I think they used credit cards. Oh,
Yes,
I think they got done for, because it was essentially fraud or theft or something.
Oh, that is,
yeah, so they just, essentially, months. No, I think it was like
a night. Yeah.
How were they pissed? Sorry,
I'm not sure actually. I don't know if they wanted to hide his death for a bit, or if they. I don't think they killed him for his money, but I think he
just
died.
Could they just not come to terms with it? It's like, oh, let's just go for a drink. Wow.
Yeah, it's all a bit.
Where was this?
Off. I think it was America, not here.
I was over at Bernie's.
Yeah, I think it's last weekend. Anyway.
Just think a little bit of the head they were going, this is going to be just like we could have. This is going to be awesome.
Maybe we'll get a seagull. Oh no, we're going to prison. Oh,
yeah.
Oh well. Yeah. But yeah, so there you go. So that's the Ryan Gosling Fest.
What a fest it was. It's quite apt in a way that in that last film, or the one before the last, he was in with Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon was that ubiquitous, you know, he was in every film ever. Yes. And now Ryan Gosling, he's the future.
Wow.
Ubiquitousness. I think in the last month, he's probably made enough connections that he could be a pivotal character in any future games.
Maybe
wow.
so.
But yes.
All that remains is for us to proclaim the best Ryan Gosling film.
Choose one.
And then we can, you know, Desert Island Discs is Flicks. There's no copyright infringement here.
Is it even copyrighted?
Probably.
Do they care?
Oh, I'm sure it must be. I don't think they'll.
Yes. So, what's the best film we've done?
Film on
what else has he done?
Well, we've detailed.
I've got. There's one that I'm thinking of, but I.
Well, I know what my answer's going to be. He's not done all that many films. Just I know. I'll say that 33 times.
Oh wow!
Wow.
So Half Nelson, he was meant to be very good in. Jen, you look at that, and I'll whittle. Because Half Nelson, he's meant to be very good in, but I haven't read. I think he was the Oscar nominated for that.
Probably. I think he was up against the doll.
Maybe Half, or maybe Best Supporting Actor. Beo just seems to be sort of slowly progressing his way through.
Jen's just spotted Young Hercules.
TV nice.
Series. Nice.
Fantastic.
That was clearly not his high moment.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I've got mine.
Oh, so he's been going for years. Ah, I see. Well, because it's like The Notebook, clearly. I feel that. Who was it? Oh, Josh Hartnett, after. He's vanished recently.
Hey, where's the Hartnett?
But Josh Hartnett, after Pearl Harbor, I think after Pearl Harbor, said that he could have gone down. Or maybe Leonardo DiCaprio after Romeo and Juliet. Anyway, but various people have said they could have gone down these sort of romantic comedy, heartthrob.
Just keep baking those.
Just churn out those. But yeah, made an effort not to. I think Ryan Gosling after The Notebook probably felt similar and thought he could have done that, being in a proper tear jerky film and just continued. But he's clearly just picked and chosen a few random films apart from that.
That's a fair point.
Anyway,
so what's it going to be?
I'm actually going to say Lars and the Real Girl, just because it struck me.
I was going to say that sounds quite interesting.
It did. I don't know, it hit a chord. I can't claim it's the best film ever, but it did. I liked it a lot.
Very good.
And it did the rare thing of I put it on in the background while doing other stuff on my computer. And found myself watching that far more than looking at my computer.
Fair play.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go for something, depends on what you go for.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing, so you have to go first.
Well, I was either going to go for The Notebook or Fracture.
Oh, okay.
So you have not seen Fracture?
I think I've seen it. If not, I've definitely read the plot summary on Wikipedia. And it's good plot summary. I quite enjoyed that. So I
Anthony Hopkins?
What? Yeah, with Hoppo.
Well, I was going to go...
Lawyer
and thing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Not seen that on.
So you're going to hedge
your bets
for the
moment? I'll go for Fracture.
Well, I was going to say either Notebook or Ides of March, because I actually thought Ides of March was a very good film. Yeah. And Notebook, let's just face it, if I'm alone on a desert island, is The Notebook really the film that I want to have?
Not really.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
And also, much of I did... I may have shed a tear at The Notebook. Mm-hmm. No. But to be honest, only at the older actors... And the younger actors bit was all right, but get through him and McAdams, get us back with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, whoever it was. Were they those two?
It wasn't either of them.
Did they not go into those?
No, it was the guy. It was the guy who was in Maverick.
James Garner. Yes,
and an old
Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau in drag.
Rachel McAdams grows into Walter Matthau. I think we're definitely sure of that.
Post-op. Definitely she sure of puts that. On some weight, the hormones go off, so as a healthy tash.
Yeah.
I think because of that...
Sorry.
We've now ruined The Notebook for everyone.
I'm going to go for Ides of March, but only if I could have wiped my memory from seeing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, if you have opinions on the best Ryan Gosling film,
email us,
then keep them to yourself, because we've done that now. We'll move
on.
Well,
you know. No.
Opinions of every film thing welcome, including Ryan Gosling.
So do email us in. Actually, I haven't heard from Jed for a while.
Jed!
Wake up, Jed! but anyone else as well, because we've just been emailless. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why. But podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Indeed, and on Twitter and the thing.
@moviebanter or facebook.com/moviebanter.
That's where we are. I wanted to end by extending an opportunity of some film watching. There's two films on this week on TV. This is my last chance to mention, even though most of our listeners are overseas, so they wouldn't see anyway.
And also, this may not go up until like Friday.
Well, exactly. One of them, in which case you've just missed, which is on Thursday.
Oh, right.
But it's one film called Life in a Day that I mentioned
yes,
a month or so
I
ago.
Saw that.
And it's out on DVD this week, but also it's on BBC Two this Thursday night. So watch that.
Right.
It's good film.
And they're doing a version of it called Britain in a Day next February, where people film their lives on, I think it's a week on Saturday. Remember, that's the day you're meant to film what you're doing. Send it in and they're going to paste it together as a giant mosaic of stuff.
Nice.
So that's Thursday. And Friday, a Sam Rockwell film called Choke, which I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, no, I haven't, but I know
I saw it, enjoyed it, and quite nice. It's a bit sort of all over the place, but quite fun. So
yes,
Friday
based
night,
on a book by someone.
Yes, the guy who did that other film.
Yeah. We are clearly, we're slightly off our game in terms of...
We haven't got the research in front of us. Things. It's not bad going.
Well, yes, that's based on a book. Yeah, based on a book by that other guy who did that thing.
Yeah.
You know.
He wrote words, you know. Exactly. The English, what's it?
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
On that high note.
Bye!
So, things, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Bye.
Ta-ra.